Try us out on Alexa. Ask her to play WFLA on iHeartRadio. Now, more of the Ryan Gorman Show on News Radio WFLA.
Ryan Gorman here with Dana McKay and James Berlander. And now let's go to the hotline and bring in our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, for his weekly hit. You can follow him. You can check him out online at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you this morning. Let's start real quick with some economic news, and then we'll get to all the aviation stuff. And we've got a lot to unpack there this morning. But the Federal Reserve meeting this week, the meeting concludes on Wednesday. Really unlikely to be any surprises in terms of interest rates. It's more going to be about what the Fed chair has to say at the conclusion of the meeting, right?
It will be. I mean, right now there's a 99% consensus among everybody watching that, yeah, there's not going to be any movement by the Fed as far as interest rate cuts. And obviously, investors are going to be looking for some sort of sign from Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, to give an indication of exactly what may be coming. But I think you and I both know, and we would not be shocked to see the Chairman Powell come out and say, we're going to wait and see, because that's what they've been doing. And because of some of the information that they've been getting, especially late last week, that shows slight uptick in some of the inflationary data, but more of it kind of moving sideways, that the idea is, yeah, we may now be looking at three interest rate cuts this year, if that. There's kind of a growing concern right now that we may see less than three. And of course, you and I have been talking about since last fall that 2024 was not going to be the year of seven or eight massive rate cuts, because that simply wasn't going to take place. But a lot of that's been baked into the market. So we could see some market softness as some of that reality continues to settle in.
All right, let's turn now to all the different aviation stories that we have. And again, we're joined by Jay Ratliff, our aviation expert. You sent me a headline from the Babylon Bee, which I think epitomizes what we're dealing with. The headline reads, "Terrorists decide against hijacking plane after realizing it's a Boeing."
You gotta see, that's just my sense of humor. I like it when those things are made up like that, because it just... But it's a serious issue, and Boeing right now has some very serious problems. And look, we go back to 5 years ago. We just passed the 5-year anniversary of the Ethiopian Airlines crash that was the second of the Boeing MAX crashes that killed 436 people. The airplane was grounded for a period of about 18 to 20 months after that. And Boeing was identified as having the culture where they were holding back critical information from inspectors, from pilots, from airlines. And once all that came out about how they, in essence, had been covering things up for a number of years, knowing some of the deficiencies of that aircraft, they promised to do better. I mean, paragraphs of promise about how they had learned their lesson, they were going to take the necessary steps to really change things like they've never changed them before. And yet now we have, at the end of December, Boeing coming out with a memo to airlines saying, oh, some of our Boeing 737 MAXs have missing bolts on some of the rudder control systems. You might want to check it out. That tells me they've certainly not learned their lesson. And of course, when the door plug blew off 2 weeks later, another part of the aircraft, it was indicative of Boeing right now being more interested in, apparently, production than they are in safety. Ryan, this reminds me of NASA in the 1986, when they were so hell-bent on getting the space shuttle launched. It was the launch schedule over safety, and sadly led to the Challenger disaster that year. And Boeing seems to be the same thing. It used to be that Airbus and Boeing 50-50. But look, right now, worldwide, Airbus has about 60% of the aircraft in the air. Boeing has 40. That gap is widening, which is only causing additional pressure on Boeing to do everything they can to rush these airplanes out. And look, I don't expect Boeing to do what they were supposed to be doing. Obviously, they're not going to do what they said they were going to do. I'm looking towards the Federal Aviation Administration. They have got to camp out at Boeing and make sure that these necessary changes are taking place.
So let's talk about this most recent incident from Friday. There was a missing panel discovered after a United Airlines Boeing landed. What do you know about that?
Well, it was a United Flight 433, San Francisco to Portland. It lands, and we have a panel that's missing underneath the wing near the main landing gear. Now, of course, it's a Boeing 737, so it's going to make headlines. But a lot of times, even though the focus immediately shifts to Boeing, I look at this and say, look, this aircraft's been in service for a while. And it may be more of a maintenance issue with United than it is with Boeing.
Okay.
It's a lot like when the United had that wheel fall off on the flight going from San Francisco to Japan. Yes, it was a Boeing aircraft, but it may have been a maintenance issue or a part that just simply failed that caused that to happen. We had a Delta 757 that's taxiing for takeoff. One of the tires of that Boeing aircraft rolls off the airplane before they take off, and people immediately start pointing to Boeing. Again, that's more of a maintenance issue than anything else. Look, I'm not trying to deflect away from Boeing on anything they're responsible for, but I also don't want us to lump everything into this is all Boeing's fault, because some of these are aircraft that have been around for a while and they're undergoing maintenance, and sometimes that maintenance is rushed or done incorrectly, and we have issues that, you know, that happen, fortunately up to this point, that have not been life-threatening.
Okay, well, we're noting that because we have been lumping all of them together and saying, Boeing's got more issues. I mean, you know, yeah. It sounds better that way, Jay. It sounds better. We're joined by our air travel expert, Jay Ratliff, right now. You can find online at daytradefund.com. The other story I wanted to ask you about, it involves a Boeing flight. The one where you had all those people injured because it nosedived recently, and now we're hearing that it might have had to do with a woman, a flight attendant, hitting a switch or something on the pilot's seat while serving a meal, that led to the pilot going into the controls and the nosedive. What do you make of that story?
Don't believe it.
No. Really?
No, I'm serious, and here's why. That button that's on the back of the seat is like many of the buttons that are critical buttons in the cockpit that have a clear flap over them. You cannot accidentally push it.
Okay.
You have to lift the flap up. You have to then push the button for whatever to happen. So I don't know if it was a situation here where, and again, this is wild speculation, but I'm not buying the story for a moment, because there's no way somebody accidentally lifted that cover, accidentally pushed the button, and accidentally caused that seat to go forward at all. So look, I may be way off base here. Occasionally I am wrong, not often, but I'm simply telling you, I think there's going to be a lot more to this story as we move forward. And it could have been, I don't know, maybe it had been a situation where they're going to let the flight attendant sit in the seat, take a picture, just whatever, and something happened. There was an Aeroflot flight many years ago where the pilot and flight attendant, or the two pilots, get out of the seat and they let their kids sit in the seats. It's on autopilot, no big deal. And the kids are playing with the controls. But what they didn't know was if the controls are pushed one way and kept there for an extended period of time, it disengages the autopilot.
Mm.
That plane crashed. Everybody died.
Oh my
so I don't know what took place here, but believe me when I say I'm not buying what the story is right here. We know that 50 people were injured, 10 of them went to the hospital. This story I don't buy, and we'll have to wait and see if I'm accurate here or not, but I suspect the narrative is going to change as we move forward, because the facts simply are not adding up.
Interesting. Our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, with us this morning. Again, you can find him online at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, really great insight. Thanks so much for coming back on this morning.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, real quick, I've got to get to a clip here that I found.